Well, the gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Being a Protestant means being bound to some type of doctrine called perspicuity. It's a tongue-tot twister. It's a fancy word that is not very perspicuous. All it means is that the scriptures can be understood by the typical Christian. One does not need a pope or a Mormon prophet to tell you what vague scriptures mean today. Now, there are all kinds of caveats there. A typical Christian has the help of the Holy Spirit, for one. But you don't need that Deus ex machina to hold to this doctrine. You can hold perspicuity rather easily just by realizing that very little comes to humans without some study. Scriptures could be written at the level of a kindergartner, but if they are never read or attempted to be understood, then they won't be. A big part of the role of a ministerium is to both be knowledgeable of the scriptures and to be trustworthy to teach and explain. That doesn't take away from anybody's base ability to understand the scriptures themselves. It's just that people have different callings. Now, I start with that short reflection because over the years, I've observed that our gospel lesson today is one of the ones that the plain reading that people take just tends to be off. Most of the Bible is rather simple. That plain reading is usually correct. Or at least it's correct enough that life and the Holy Spirit will fill in the blanks. But I'm afraid that the plain reading of today's gospel is often, I need to pester God more. If I pester God morning, noon, and night, he will eventually give me what I want. And the problem is not really the pestering God portion. The Father is always happy to hear from you, even if he might not be so thrilled with the requests that we come with. This one again? It just wouldn't be good for you, so maybe this time you can take no for an answer. But no. It's a parable about two things. Like all parables, it's about the nature of God and our sin-warped perceptions of him. And secondly, it's a parable about what we ask for and maybe about what we should be asking for. to pray and to not lose heart is not about encountering the no and to keep asking, but it's an invitation to know God in prayer, and to ask for the good things. Because we all have this list of stuff that we've asked God for and didn't get. And not everything on that list is necessarily bad. Although most of us have our share of things like Janis Joplin, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" And it truly is a justice issue. My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Or the fact that there have been at least 3 lotteries with billion-dollar jackpots and I haven't won a single one yet. Yes, I'm narcissistic and petty enough to hold that against God and chalk it up as an injustice. But we could move on to deeper things. Like, why is my brother dead? Or why did I never get a promotion on the job that was so deserved? Or there are a million other things that I'm sure, big and little, things that we might say, give me justice against my adversary. And as those things that we might file under justice pile up, they cloud our perception of God. He can become the distant judge who cares not a whit about justice, casually cruel and distant, and maybe the worst, capricious about who and when he acts. That's the God of the cosmic slot machine. You've got to keep pulling the lever. Or I guess today, you have to keep hitting the button and playing all the lines. You keep going back to God in that way, pressing that button. Maybe he will wear down until you get your moment where he grants you justice and that jackpot. But Jesus' picture is meant to disabuse us of that image of God. While we can certainly think of humans in authority who act like that, I'm sure we've come across some of them, it's exceedingly wrong to think of God in those terms. Will not God give justice to his elect, who cry out to him day and night? And Jesus' expected answer is absolutely. Even if a capricious and distant human occasionally gives justice, God the Father will certainly grant it. And unlike the human, you have to be in the right place at the right time. God is not a cosmic slot machine. Will he delay long over them? Again, absolutely not. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. The God we have is not distant, but close enough to be right there with us in whatever situation we find ourselves. And the God we have is not capricious, but someone who knows us like a maker. He knows our every need and provides. He knows what we don't need and that would lead us astray. And God only wishes to give us good things. Far from being cruel, the Father of Jesus is the one who cared enough to send us his only son. So the first effect of the parable is a correction in our understanding of God. We don't have to pester God or keep slamming the slot machine. He knows what we need before we even ask. His mercies are new every morning. And every evening, we can entrust our souls to him. The problem is our definition of justice. The problem is knowing what we should be asking for. We take justice typically as so many temporal things. And I don't mean to casually dismiss temporal justice, but it's a fallen world full of sinners. Everyone has their story of injustice that they are nursing. Most of them are probably even true. It's a saying that has more truth than it deserves. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. But all of these things, the stuff that we might think are about pressing justice, fall under the single petition in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Give us this day our daily bread. Grant us what we need for this body and life today. You know what we need today, and you have already laid out our steps. Give us enough to walk in them this day. And God certainly grants us our daily bread, even without our asking for it. We are just often anxious and worried and burning calories on so many things beyond today. But what Jesus is pointing us at in the parable is to ask for a more cosmic justice. Like, deliver us from evil. Because we do have an adversary. And it's not really the guy who's driving a Porsche, or who got the promotion, or whose life appears to be blessed in every way by God. We have an adversary who wants to bind us up in envy, and from envy, turn us away from God. See, he doesn't really care about you. And turning us away convinces us to start grabbing everything ourselves, usually committing bigger sins when envy itself moves into action. Satan wants to eat us up. We pray, deliver us from the evil one. Ask for the cosmic justice. Like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the world is an adversary of the Christian life. And it truly is one that is capricious and casually cruel. This world cares not a whit about you or anything that you love. The kingdoms of this world all have their own plans, and they change with every new prince that comes on the scene. And any justice that comes from them is temporal at best. Ask for the kingdom, the eternal one, The one where the will of God is done. Ask for the day when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord. Ask for the cosmic justice, like forgive our sins as we forgive others. Our own flesh will betray us, and the devil gets his way too easily, and the offerings of this world are too enticing. We like having adversaries and holding grudges and counting up the debts that are owed to us. Ask for the cosmic justice that we might today forgive and one day be freed from sinning. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The cosmic justice will come. It has already come in parts. Your sins have been forgiven, even if we continue to do the things we don't want to do. The kingdom has already invaded this old world. Christ is risen and the victory has been proclaimed. Satan himself is a spent force. All he can do is fool us into hurting ourselves. Son of Man has come, and he will certainly come, and with him will come the fulfillment of all these things. The question that Jesus leaves after this parable is the one of faith. Christians have been asking for the cosmic justice for 2,000 years. As one of the great TV characters once said, slow train never comes. We can get lost in temporal justice. We can get beaten down by those repeated sins of others and those we commit ourselves. Our view of God might slip into that distant cruelty instead of the one who draws near to us on a cross. Jesus told them this parable that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Ask for the cosmic justice. It's not slow, as you might think. But God is patient, not wishing any to perish. Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask, and that faith will be found. Amen.